From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Jokowi launches 55 locally manufactured products to tackle COVID-19. Indonesia's budget deficit reaches 74.5 trillion rupiah. Now the news in details. President Jokowi Dodo launched 55 products developed by Indonesian researchers to handle the COVID-19 pandemic. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, President Jokowi remarked at a launch of innovative products for handling the COVID-19 pandemic held through a teleconference on Wednesday, that Indonesia is proud to see that with its own hands, Indonesia can make products that it needs. The products were developed by the Consortium of Research and Innovation for COVID-19. Research and Technology Minister, Head of the National Research and Innovation Agency, Bambang Brojonegoro, was among the attendees at the launch to commemorate National Awakening Day. At the launch, the President introduced 9 products that are ready to mass production. The products include the polymerase chain reactions or PCR test kit to diagnose COVID-19 transmission and rapid test kit to detect antibody responses to coronavirus. Vice Finance Minister Suhasil Nazara at a press conference on Wednesday in Jakarta stated that Indonesia's budget deficit in the year ending April 30, 2020 reached 74.5 trillion rupiah, accounting for 0.44% of the national gross domestic products. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, the budget deficit represented 8.7% of the state budget ceiling set in the Presidential Regulation No. 54/2020 at 852.9 trillion rupiah, or 5.07% of the GDP. The minister noted the deficit reached 74.5 trillion rupiah, well below 100.3 trillion rupiah recorded in April 30, 2019. The budget deficit in the year ending April 30, 2019 accounted for 0.63% of the GDP. Meanwhile, state revenues until late April 2020 amounted to 549.5 trillion rupiah, or 31.2% of the target of 1.760.9 trillion rupiah set in the revised 2020 state budget in accordance with Presidential Regulation No. 54/2020. State revenues also rose 3.2% compared to 532.3 trillion rupiah a year earlier. Brazil has seen a record number of coronavirus deaths as the pandemic that has swept across the world begins to hit Latin America with its full force. As quoted by AFP.com, after Asia, Europe, and North America, Latin America has seen coronavirus infections surge in recent days and now accounts for about 580,000 of the world's nearly 5 million confirmed cases. Brazil has been hardest hit in the region, rising to the third highest number of cases in the world, as Peru, Mexico, and Chile also see steady increases in infections. Health officials in Brazil reported 1.179 new coronavirus deaths on Tuesday, the first time the daily toll exceeded 1,000. But far-right President Jair Bolsonaro remains bitterly opposed to lockdowns, having described them as unnecessary over a little flu. With the outbreak in the world's sixth largest country expected to accelerate until early June, many Brazilians are deeply worried about the next few weeks. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Millions of people battened down Wednesday as the strongest cyclones in decades slammed into Bangladesh and eastern India, killing at least three and leaving a trail of devastation. As quoted by AFP.com, authorities scrambled to evacuate more than 3 million people from low-lying areas, but the task was complicated by the need to prevent the spread of coronavirus. As it made landfall, Cyclone Amphan tore through coastal villages, flattening mud houses, blowing off roofs, uprooting trees, and laying waste to crop fields. In Bangladesh, officials confirmed three deaths, including a 5-year-old boy and a 75-year-old man, both hit by falling trees, and a cyclone emergency volunteer who drowned. Two other fatalities were reported by Indian media, including an infant crushed when the mud fall of the family's hut collapsed in heavy rain in Odisha state. China slammed the United States for its dangerous decision to congratulate Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen on her Wednesday's inauguration, as the self-ruled island became the latest flashpoint between the world's two largest economies. As quoted by FP.com, Taiwanese voters handed Tsai a second term with a landslide win in January, a vocal rebuke of China's ongoing campaign to isolate the island. She was sworn in for another 4 years at a ceremony on Wednesday in which she called on China to live peacefully alongside a self-ruled Taiwan and for a lowering of tension. But the congratulatory note from U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo hailing Tsai's courage and wisdom sparked a rebuke from Beijing, which bristles at any formal recognition of Taipei. China's defense ministry said it is extremely wrong and it's also very dangerous. Beijing's foreign ministry said it was extremely indignant at the message and accused Washington of breaching its diplomatic commitments. President Emmanuel Macron and Chancellor Angela Merkel have jump-started the Franco-German motor at the heart of Europe by jointly pitching a hugely ambitious economic recovery plan, even if it faces a bumpy road ahead. As quoted by AFP.com, Macron and Merkel, whose relationship has been shadowed by disagreements on several key issues on Monday, put differences aside to propose a 500 billion euro or $546 billion fund to help mend an economy devastated by the coronavirus pandemic. The plan marked a major move for both sides, with Germany seen to have moved round to the French view that more flexibility is needed to ensure all of Europe, and not just their richer north, can recover from the crisis. Under their plan, the fund will be financed by borrowing from the market in the name of the European Union, while the money given out will not have to be paid back. Wearing masks is being made compulsory in Spain, both indoors and out in public, if social distancing is not possible. As quoted by BBC.com, only children under 6 and people with health issues are exempt from the law, which comes into force on Thursday. Many European countries have now made wearing masks a requirement on public transport, but the Spanish decree goes farther. Spain has seen one of the worst COVID-19 outbreaks in Europe, but is now easing the lockdown gradually. It already requires the wearing of masks on public transport and is now strengthening the rules across the population. Spain has reported almost 28,000 deaths and 232,000 infections since March, but the rate of infection has declined. Spain had imposed some of the toughest measures on the continent, including keeping children indoors for 6 weeks. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez addressed Parliament on Wednesday ahead of a vote on extending the state of alert for 2 more weeks. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Innovation Amid COVID-19. May 20th in Indonesia was commemorated as the National Awakening Day. The awakening began from Indonesian youth movement in 1908 by medical students of Stovia in Jakarta, which was meaningful for Indonesian in their struggle for independence from Dutch colonialism. From the meeting of youth on May 20, 1908, Indonesian awakening started from Budi Utomo organization, which means the noble personality. Nationalism emerged in the meeting through the use of Malay as official language instead of Javanese, although most of the attendees were Javanese. Amid COVID-19, the awakening of Indonesian youth was so meaningful for state continuity. On the hands of nation's next generation, Indonesia can rise and be glorious through innovation. On National Awakening Day 2020, President Joko Widodo marked it with the launching of collaborative products of Erlangga University, Surabaya, titled hashtag Kebangkitan Inovasi Indonesia or Indonesian Innovation Awakening. It was the launching of COVID-19 innovation product initiated by Research and Technology Ministry with National Research and Innovation Agency. National Awakening Day commemoration was held online amid COVID-19 pandemic and health protocols implementations. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo said that he was optimistic towards Indonesian self-reliance in facing COVID-19 with the emergence of national research and innovation products. According to the president, amid the sorrow from thousand fallen lives, pride towards national products must begin upheld. Meanwhile, Research and Technology Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that the launching of COVID-19 Consortium Research and Innovation Product in conjunction with National Awakening Day can be seen as Indonesian Innovation Awakening. Further, Minister Brojonegoro affirmed that some higher education institutions were collaborative partners in inventing those innovations, especially against COVID-19 pandemic. According to him, at least the definition of innovation product has novelty value and added value. Besides higher education, Research and Technology Ministry also cooperated with some ministries, agencies, and institutions in creating various innovations. Truly, national awakening through innovation is not limited on the young generation, but it surpasses age boundaries. Innovation is a form of a self-reliance and movement to break free from monotonous routine for survival. In the meantime, awakening in the soul of innovations and changes. Without spirits of awakening, we will stay in place, will not wake up, and can stay monotonous towards situations. Therefore, the spirits of awakening can harmonize the differences so that we can get out from the monotonous and become out of the box through innovation and changes. Hopefully, during COVID-19 pandemic, innovation emerges not only health equipment, but also in other form, such as form of resistance in maintaining and safeguarding the continuity and life of Indonesia. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kuswati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, meet again with me, Ahmad Faisal, in our regular program, Today in History, over the Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on May 21st, 1998, when Suharto stepped down as President of Indonesia. After several huge demonstrations, riots, political and military pressure, and culminating in the occupation of DPR or MPR building by students, President Suharto stepped down on 21st May 1998. The government was continued by then Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia, B.J. Habibie. In Suharto's 32-year administration, there had been an abuse of power, including corruption and human rights violations. This had caused the end of the Suharto era. May 21st since then has been celebrated as Reformation Day. Next event is that in 2002. It was set as the World Cultural Diversity Day. The United Nations or UN has established May 21st as the World Day for Cultural Diversity for Dialogue and Development since 2002. It began when UNESCO issued the Universal Declaration on Cultural Diversity. Through UN Resolution Number 57/249, 21st May was established as the day to celebrate diversity throughout the world. According to UNESCO, cultural differences should be a source of wealth rather than division. In addition, intercultural dialogue must also be improved so that each group can understand each other. The last event is that in 2006, the independence referendum for Montenegro took place. The 2006 Montenegro independence referendum was held in Montenegro on May 21, 2006 to determine the political status of the region. 55.5% of voters supported Montenegro independence, and this percentage exceeds the minimum threshold of 55%. On May 23rd, the initial results of the referendum were recognized by 5 permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, so that Montenegro's independence was recognized internationally. On May 31st, the referendum commission officially confirmed the results of the referendum, which show that the majority of Montenegrins supported the independence. Then, on Saturday, June 3rd, the Assembly of the Republic of Montenegro officially declared Montenegro independence. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Ministry of Environment and Forestry Facilitating the Destruction of Medical Waste in Remote Areas. The issue of the unavailability of medical waste destruction facilities in remote areas became the concern of the Ministry of Environment and Forestry during the emergency period in the acceleration of handling the COVID-19 pandemic. This was raised in the regional coordination meeting on the management of the medical waste of the COVID-19 period, which was held virtually by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, together with the Provincial Environment Office, Provincial Health Office or Regency, and City Environmental Services Offices, and the Ministry of Health in Jakarta, Monday, on May 18. The Director General of Waste, Hazardous and Toxic and Waste Management of the Ministry, Rosa Vivian Ratnawati, as the Environment Agency to support and assist healthcare facilities in conducting burial procedures in accordance with the Minister of Environment and Forestry Regulation regarding technical procedures and technical requirements for management and toxic hazardous materials from health service facilities. Vivin Ratnawati said, medical waste in a hazardous and toxic or B3 waste, which must be managed well during the normal period, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic emergency stages. The eradication of infectious waste must be appropriately and correctly to break the chain and suppress the spread of COVID-19. Vivin Ratnawati said, the amount of medical waste from the COVID-19 pandemic increased by 30%, while the processing capacity of medical B3 waste in several areas, especially outside Java, was still limited. Meanwhile, Director of Performance Assessment of B3 Waste Management and Non-Hazardous Waste of the Environment and Forestry Ministry, Sinta Saptarina Sumiarno, on the same occasion said, the response and effort to resolve the capacity of medical waste eradication is to build 32 medical B3 waste destruction facilities in 2020 to 2024 with the ministry's budget, which will be submitted and managed by each local government. The existence of this facility also aims to support healthcare facilities so that they focus on improving medical services for the community. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Kita yang terdepan.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know tebak ice, or as tebak, a typical drink from Padang, West Sumatra. Stay tuned. Not only various delicious dishes, which are usually looked for when preparing iftar, cold drinks also become favorite one of many people for iftar. People in Padang, West Sumatra usually choose es tebak for iftar. This traditional drink is named es tebak because it uses tebak as the main ingredient. Tebak is made of rice and sago flour, which is cooked with salt water and printed in a special mold. Its texture is a little bit hard and has white color. To make one portion of the ice, tebak is mixed with other materials such as avocado, slices of jackfruit, slices of jelly, red and green sugar palm fruits or kolang-kaling, cassava tape or fermented cassava, and also pieces of bread and ice shavings at the top of the ice. Finally, it is splashed with sugar cane water, red syrup, and sweetened condensed milk. The appearance of es tebak is very interesting because the mixture of its colorful ingredients. Its taste is so delectable. The ice is able to eliminate thirst after a full day fasting. It is not difficult to find es tebak vendors in Padang. The vendors usually carry typical cart with jar glasses and completed with ketam or shaving ice traditional tool. Es tebak is sold with a relatively cheap price, around 10,000 rupiah until 15,000 rupiah per portion. Buyers usually choose original taste of the ice with or without coconut milk in accordance with their taste. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Kau yang kini dilanda patah hati, jangan takut, aku ada di sini menemanimu, menemanimu. Sudahlah, lupakan saja semua yang telah terjadi pada hari ini. Sudahlah, relakan saja, akan datang waktunya untuk yang baru. Sudahlah, biarkan saja, kau akan bertemu yang terbaik dalam hidupmu. Sudahlah, lepaskan saja. saja semua yang telah terjadi pada hari ini. Sudahlah, relakan saja, akan datang waktunya untuk yang baru.
Thank you, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miss Leni. In today's edition, we present you information on ITS designs LED IUV lamps for COVID-19 sterilization. After designing Violeta robot for room sterilization and handling COVID-19 patients, 10 November Institute of Technology has an innovation again. Along with Hospital of Erlangga University, the institute designed LED 405 nanometer IUV lamp for isolation room. In accordance with its name, the IUV lamps work to emit light with hash length of 405 nanometer wave, safe for humans. So, the lamp can sterilize the room without having to empty the people who are inside the room. Lamps
lecturer in the Physics Department of 10 November Institute of Technology, and Darko, MSI PhD, explained that the IUV lamps can be used continuously and only need electric power of 40 watts. Lamps can also durable until 50,000 hours. In addition, the lamps are also modified by balancing light which is emitted. In the early, the light which is emitted has violet color, so it can make us dizzy if it's watched. But the existence of the modification of the lamp, the light can produce comfortable light for eyes. Five Factor 4 of 10 November Institute of Technology, Research, Innovation, Cooperation, and International Relations field, Bambang Pramujati, PhD, stated that in principle, the IUV lamps are similar with violet rubber, which is used for sterilization, but the lamp is safer to be used, unlike violet rubber, which is in handling for COVID-19 sterilization to have made the room empty first. The lamp can sterilize the room without having to empty the people who are inside. The lamp is also easy to be installed on ceiling. Certainly, it is more effective because it can sterilize continuously without refilling like disinfectant liquid. This IUV lamp does not leave stains or residue on the area that is sterilized, so it does not interfere with cleanliness. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Menanti tanpa batas, tanpa batas. kau butuh telinga untuk mendengar, bahu untuk bersandar, raga untuk berlindung. Akulah orang yang selalu ada untukmu, meski hanya sebatas teman. Yakin kau temukan aku di garis terdepan, bertepuk dengan sebelah tangan.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present a religious song entitled Dengan Menyebut Nama Allah by Novia Kolopaking. The song Dengan Menyebut Nama Allah has been dedicated by several Indonesian singers, including Warna Band, Gigi Band, Marshanda, Andini, and Nagita Slavina. But this song was firstly popularized by Novia Kolopaking. The song Dengan Menyebut Nama Allah, sung by Novia Kolopaking, contained in a religious compilation album titled Dengan Menyebut Nama Allah, which was released in 1992. The song, which was created by Arya Dipayana and Dwiki Darmawan, reminded every Muslims should begin everything by saying the name of Allah and surrender to God Almighty to get peacefulness. Well, listener, let us listen to the song Dengan Menyebut Nama Allah by Novia Kolopaking. Enjoy the song.
Jalani hidupmu
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Berganti bukanlah setapak.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.